Well, I'm delighted to welcome you to our carol service this afternoon. It's great to share this time with you. I'm Jonathan Edwards, a member of this church and a Baptist minister, but not the real minister here. Richard Littledale cannot be here, as most of you will know, being on compassionate leave at the moment after the death of his wife Fiona. Can I just say a few things about the service, which hope will make it an enjoyable time for you? We don't take up an offering, but if you wanted to place a gift in the box, that's brilliant, and that will go to the Children's Society. The service is composed, as you'd expect, of things that the choir are going to sing and readings, and a couple of people are going to share what Christmas means to them. And then you do have a role, and every time we want you to sing, because there won't be any other announcement, you look at my friend Mike, who will be at the rostrum, and he will bring you in. And you will sing beautifully. It's amazing. So we look forward to the way in which God is going to meet with us as we sing and listen together. Can I just say, the children, it's brilliant to have some children here. This is in every way a family occasion, and it's brilliant that children are here. We would love you to come, and I know you would love to come and sing Away in a Manger in the middle of the service, and Mike will invite you to do so at a particular point. At the end of the service, we do hope that you'll be able to stay for refreshments. We'd love you to do that. Hundreds of years before the coming of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah spoke of the way in which God would send a Messiah to bring salvation to the world. Our service begins as we hear that reading.
Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Thanks be to God for his word.
Where am I? Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we join together this afternoon to bring you our worship as we thank you for sending Jesus Christ into the world to be our Saviour. We thank you that he came as a baby to Bethlehem, bringing joy to his parents and joy to the world. We praise you that 2,000 years later, we can still bring you our thanksgivings. And as we do so, we remember that Jesus came to bring love and joy and peace to the whole world. This Christmas time, we bring before you those for whom life is hard. We pray for those who are homeless, unhappy, unloved, uncared for. Make us, we pray, the more ready to reach out to those in need as we hear again the Christmas message. We pray for those who have lost loved ones over this past year, and we remember especially Richard and his family, asking that they may have an experience of your peace and blessing. Give us, we pray, joy as we sing our carols and attention as we listen to your word. We bring our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
St. Luke tells of the coming of the angel Gabriel to Mary. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Thanks be to God for his word.
have just sung, Christ is born in Bethlehem, a saviour, my saviour, who is Christ the Lord, God's greatest gift to mankind. Many years ago, I came across a recitation trying to record just what God thinks of the way the world celebrates Christmas, the birth of Jesus, God's greatest gift to mankind. It's entitled, The Christmas Angel. God called the angel Gabriel, go down to earth and see what my people think of Christmas and report it back to me. So Gabriel walked down Oxford Street mid plastic decorations and saw thousands of scurrying folk all bent on celebrations. He crossed the ocean to New York. Glitter, noise and bustle, supermarkets flourishing, and everywhere a hustle. In Asia, he found hunger. All around was war, men's misery and anger hid from them the Christmas star. He came up through the Holy Land. Barbed wire in Bethlehem? And hostile man faced hostile man in old Jerusalem. And when he came to Berlin, once divided by a wall, with families split right in two, and no joy there at all. Gabriel went back to God. My report is this. Some are celebrating, but they're not sure why this is. They're spending time and money in a God-excluding din. And there's still no room for Jesus at the world's commercial inn. And God was sad. This is my world. I gave it them, said he. I gave them to the uttermost. What have they given me? I cannot see them for the cloud of sin that hangs above them. Isn't there one faithful soul who knows how much I love them? Just then, a light shone through the cloud. Someone's at prayer, God said, and looking down the beam, could see a child beside its bed. Thank you, God, for Christmas. And the baby in the hay. Happy birthday, baby Jesus. This is your special day. The smile of God lit up the heavens, and Gabriel smiled too. Out of the mouth of babes, he said, the simple truth comes through. The bells of heaven ring out again because God tells them to. Oh, hungry, weary, war-torn world, can't you hear them ring for you?
Thank you. St. Luke tells of the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judah, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. Thanks be to God for his word.
Now, at this point, we're going to sing Away in a Manger. And can I ask any children that would like to do so to come up to the front and sing the first verse to everybody else? The ladies will help you sing the first verse, and then everybody else will join in after that. So have we got any children who would like to come and join me? Because I get ever so lonely. Or I could just be lonely. I shall just be lonely then. Oh dear. Well, we'll sing it anyway, with the ladies singing the first verse and the children singing where they are if they're not going to come and join me at the front.
Lay down. Then Luke tells of the angel announcing the birth of Jesus. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I will bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherd returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. Thanks be to God for his word.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb? Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb, and the sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am?
was asked if I'd share a few words about why Christmas is special for us. Many people look forward to Christmas, and so do we. It's a really special time of the year when we think about Jesus and we really focus on all the joy that Christmas brings. It can be a challenging time too, with so many distractions going on in the world around us. Finding the true meaning of Christmas is becoming ever more important. Christmas has always been a very special time of the year, and with three children in the family, we do take great pleasure in seeing their joy in the little things that happen at this time of year, like opening doors on the Advent calendar, reading the little excerpts from the Christmas story in the build-up to the big day, and lighting the candles and so on, and decorating and dismantling the Christmas tree. When we talk to the children, we teach them that Christmas is all about the ultimate gift of Jesus to us. It's not just about the gifts that we all give and receive. Last Monday, we asked them at breakfast what made Christmas special to them, and Katya, who's four, spoke of the excitement of presents, and Danik said, yes, but it's about the family coming together, and we have a big lunch, like a great, great Christmas party for Jesus. We have two cultures in our household, as many of you will know. Tanya is from Ukraine, so we get to celebrate Christmas twice, on the 25th, but also on the 7th of January as well. But with the other half of the family based in Ukraine, there is a bit of sadness in the fact that we very rarely get to spend Christmas all together. But we have found our own tradition, because on Christmas Day, we have a Skype call with Tanya's family in Ukraine after lunch, just before the Christmas pudding, and we have the ceremonial lighting of the pudding over Skype. And what's wonderful is that Tanya's family will decorate the house and have a Christmas cake at their end as well, so we get to share the joy of Christmas together. Because both are special and they're unique in their own way, but at the heart of Christmas is the family and friends just coming together to celebrate the wonderful birth of Jesus.
Oh,
I know it's usual to bemoan the commercialisation of Christmas, but I'm actually not going to add to those voices. I think we should be profoundly grateful that Christmas still gets an amazingly high billing in our society, in our post-Christian society. Society that's largely forgotten about Christianity certainly knows it's got it this time of the year. 20 years ago, I checked up the date, interestingly, Birmingham City Council introduced the concept of Winterval, and it didn't go anywhere. People didn't like the idea, and Christmas, it seems to me, is emblazoned across our society as strongly as ever this year. Millions of people who never normally go to church will be attending carol services, and the most committed Scrooge will not be able to miss the fact that Christmas is happening. Christianity might sit on the margins of society for the rest of the year, but let us rejoice, for these weeks, it's centre stage. And the reason I'm so happy about that, and that it's not a private, quiet, dignified Christian celebration in a corner somewhere, is that it makes the point that Christmas belongs to everyone. What Jesus did in coming to the world was not just for a little close group of Christians, it was for the world. For, of course, for us, the Christmas story holds no surprises. We know exactly what's going to happen next. We've told the story, retold the story, we've acted the story. Many of you, do tell me afterwards, have been Marys in the past. God bless you. Some of you, perhaps, are still coping with the fact that you weren't Marys. Others of you were Josephs, others were donkeys, and are still trying to get over that experience. Whatever. We know this story. We know every detail of this story. Few surprises for us, but get this. It was a complete surprise to those of us, those who were originally part of the Christmas story. Indeed, the whole of the Christmas story is all about surprised people. People standing there saying, "Who, me?" The first surprised person was Zechariah, an old priest who, with his wife Elizabeth, had always longed for a baby. This man was completely astonished. He couldn't believe what the angel was telling him, and he was left speechless until the birth of his son, John the Baptist. "Who, me?" "Yes, you." Then we meet Mary, the other end of the age scale, probably a teenager. She is told that she, understanding no doubt very little about theology, about the world, she is told that she is miraculously going to have a baby, for nothing is impossible with God. Mary certainly felt, "Who, me?" "Yes, you, Mary." Then Matthew's gospel gives us an insight into Joseph's experience. He was dreaming one night, and an angel came to him and said that his fiancée was miraculously going to have a baby. He was going to have the care of this little boy. "Who, me?" "Yes, you, Joseph." It was all a big surprise. I love most of all the surprise of the shepherds. I love the fact, I treasure the fact, that the good news of Jesus' birth came first to a bunch of shepherds, because it's so unlikely. We would have understood it if the message had gone first of all to the high priest. That would have been the proper thing to do, it would seem. He'd got loads of stuff, loads of other priests there in the temple. Surely it would be more than appropriate for the message to come to them. But God chooses, rather than them, a group of rough and tough men out in the fields. Shepherds were interesting people because they were, generally speaking, ritually unclean, because they didn't have the opportunity to go to the temple, be part of the rhythm of worship in the temple. And so they were the last people. They were the sort of the most irreligious people you could think of. They probably were very smelly because they lived out in the fields. I'm not going to go into any more detail, but it seems to me. But what we do know is they were seen as people living on the margins, sitting on the edge of society, the last people you would have expected They were utterly surprised to hear of the birth of Jesus. Who, me? Yes, you shepherds. You are to be the first on the scene in Bethlehem. I wonder how you hear the news of Jesus' birth this Christmas time. I wonder what it does to you to know that God loves you personally. Yes, you personally. What, me? Yes, you. The reason I say this is that I struggle to believe that God could be interested in me. I remember as a teenager really struggling with this. I didn't have a problem with God loving the world. That seemed reasonable. But the fact that God could love me personally, who, me? Yes, you, Jonathan. Yes, you, Mary. You, Peter. You, Shane. You, whoever you are. God came for you. St. Augustine once said, in a phrase that I find so compelling, if he had been the only person who had ever lived, Jesus would have died for him. And so this Christmas time, let's celebrate the joy of the Christmas message. Let's celebrate the surprise, the amazing fact that Jesus came for you. Perhaps you think that you've done too many bad things, that you have put yourself outside this sort of religious category. But Jesus came for you. Yes, you. Maybe you've wandered away from the church and you used to be keen, but not any longer. And I want you to know that Jesus came for you. Yes, you. Perhaps you just feel truly insignificant. You just feel unimportant. And God wants you to know this Christmas how special you are. Who, me? Yes, you. The Christmas story is so simple, and yet it conveys the most profound truths that the world has ever heard. Whoever you are, don't be surprised. If God wants to say new things to you today, new things to you this Christmas time, if he wants to reveal more of himself to you this wonderful time of the year. Who, me? Yes, you. I've given up being an organist. Mike's going to continue. And so I'm going to ask you to stand. And at the end of this service, we'd love you to stay. Quite a lot of you, and there's only a small hatch, so it actually works better if you wait to be served. I'll be interested to see if you can do that. But there is food and drink for us to share, but please wait to be served. That would be really helpful. We're going to conclude our worship as we stand to sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. loving Father, as we have celebrated the birth of your Son, so help us in the power of your Holy Spirit to live in his light, to live with his truth, to live in the light of his presence, the Prince of Peace. And so may the best blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and abide with each one of us this Christmas time and forevermore. Amen.